This is Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and we're glad that you're with us today. Whatever you're doing right now, I hope you can stay with us and chat for a while.
And hello from me. I'm Tammy. Carol, did you happen to hear that terrible noise in the street as we came in?
I did. I think it was the neighbors arguing about whose children made that mess in the street. They were making quite a noise.
I hate conflict. It scares me. Even hearing other people argue makes me feel bad.
What do you mean by conflict? Do you mean when you don't agree with someone?
I guess. It's more like arguments, fights, bad feelings, bad words, nasty looks, or going silent and not talking at all. All of those things that mean something is not right between two people.
I know what you mean. We can't avoid them in life, can we?
No, we can't. So, let's share some ideas about how to fix things when there is conflict and disagreement.
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by fix things. Do you mean like get your own way?
Of course I do. I think sometimes it means that we want to get our own way. But I think the real meaning of fixing is to become friends again.
You know, I believe that we would have a lot less conflict and unhappiness if we learned to use two words. I'm sorry. We often look for excuses and try to blame someone else when we should just admit our mistake and say, I'm sorry. And there are three more words that are very important. I forgive you. Forgiveness isn't making excuses or saying that it didn't matter. It's deciding to put the conflict behind you and not make the other person suffer. Learning to say these two things will help sort out the conflicts in any relationship.
I think we all need to practice saying, I'm sorry, and forgiving, because we all make mistakes and hurt each other, don't we? Even when we love each other.
And that is so true. Often we realize it's partly our fault. But we try to get out of it by shouting or even hitting. That may stop the argument for the moment, but it will never fix the relationship.
No, it would only make it worse. We need to want to fix the conflict. With Women of Hope, and I'm Tammy. We've been talking about how to fix conflict in our relationships. We said that it's important to say, I'm sorry, when you're wrong, and to forgive when someone has done the wrong thing to you. I think sometimes we have to choose what is most important to us in this conflict situation. Sometimes we're so busy trying to get a practical problem sorted out that we don't pay attention to building relationships.
And you're right. I just thought of an example, too. Once, I bought a bag of rice, and it was full of weevils. You should have seen them all wiggling away.
Ugh.
I got such a shock, I tied up that bag very quickly. And then I took it straight back to the shop, and I asked for a new one. I think the shopkeeper knew it wasn't a good one when he sold it to me because he brought it out from behind the counter and not from off the shelf. I didn't want to be rude to the shopkeeper, but really, I was only interested in getting my clean rice. I didn't need to be best friends with him.
So, how did you do it?
Well, I asked to speak to the person in charge, and I showed him the rice and my receipt. And I told him that I often bought food there, but that I was disappointed that his shop would sell such poor rice. And then I said I expected him to give me a new bag.
Wow. You made it very clear to him, didn't you? What happened next?
Oh, he wasn't happy. And he made excuses. He said that it must have gotten wet in storage. But he gave me my new bag in the end because I just kept saying firmly that the product wasn't good.
Okay. So the most important thing was to get what you wanted, the good rice you paid for.
That's right. And next, I suppose, well, I wanted to feel that I was polite and respectful. I didn't want to walk away feeling ashamed of myself because I was rude or unfair to him, even if I had my good rice.
So sometimes you're trying to get your rights, and it's important to act fairly in the conflict. But what if you disagree with someone close to you? That can be harder. Then it becomes more important for you to keep the relationship safe and good. But does that mean that you have to just give in or do what the other person wants just to keep the peace?
Well, what do you think? If you always gave in, would it make a good relationship in the long run? Is it a good friendship or a good marriage if one partner always gets their own way?
It's not really, is it? Because it wouldn't be fair or equal. And there wouldn't be much respect for each other, would there?
So, what should you do?
Let's think about that. Kara, we're friends. But suppose you and I disagreed about, let's see, who should make the tea each week? Suppose I think you're lazy and always expect me to go and make the tea.
And maybe I think that you should because you're younger.
Oh, the most important step is to talk about it and really listen to each other. Find out what the other person wants and why it's important to them. Let them know you've understood them.
Let's act out this story about the tea. Let's pretend that you're angry with me.
Okay, let's do that and see what might happen. Here we go. Carol, I am fed up with always being the one to make the tea. Why don't you ever do it? What do you think I am? Your servant?
What? I mean, I didn't realize that you would get so upset because you think I don't make the tea often enough.
That's right. I am upset. Why don't you do your share?
Tammy, I'm sorry. I thought you liked making the tea. I mean, I thought you liked the chance to get away from your desk. So I've just gotten into the habit of letting you do it. I was wondering why you were not so friendly to me lately.
Oh, so you didn't realize that the tea making was a problem to me? And you're feeling hurt by my coldness?
That was good. That shows that we understand each other now, but we still need to work out who will make the tea. And we should talk about possible solutions, like how we can fix the problem.
Because at least we agree on one thing. We both want to drink tea. Okay, let's go back to the acting. So maybe we could take turns or...
Well, maybe it would help you if I made sure that I said thank you, so that you know that I just didn't expect you to make it.
Or if you just thought to offer to do it sometimes, or brought cake to have with it. I really don't mind making the tea. I just didn't like feeling you were expecting me to make it all the time.
Now, that was just pretending or acting. But it really does show some important points. We need to listen well without interrupting until you really understand how the other person feels and why.
And then to show that you do understand by putting their thoughts and feelings into your own words. Did you notice Carol did that when I said I was fed up? She said, "Oh, I didn't realize you would get so upset."
And it was good not to attack back. Well, that would only have started an argument.
It was good to listen to each other and not try to decide who was right or wrong.
Sometimes you have to think about it a bit yourself and try to work out some of the reasons that the other person might have for what they're doing.
And also, think about what you are doing that keeps the conflict going. It might just surprise you. In the story we acted, I was surprised that my coldness was hurting Carol. I thought it was all her fault.
Another good thing was to find out what we did agree about and to work together on how we could fix it to meet both of our needs. We sometimes call that a win-win situation. That means both people win. And that's important, to realize that you're on the same side, working together to fix things that might hurt your relationship.
And when something makes you angry, I think it's good to wait a bit sometimes. Take a few deep breaths until you're calm. Then you can think about it. Instead of saying the first angry thing that pops into your head, because you can't take words back.
Oh my goodness, I wish I could do that, don't you? When we were children, my mother used to quote the Bible verse, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry."
That would certainly save a lot of conflict. Let's try to learn it together. How did it start, Carol?
Quick to listen.
Slow to speak.
And slow to become angry.
That's good, because it's easy to not listen, to say the first thing you think of, and to become angry without really thinking. We've been talking about how to fix conflicts, and now Roz is here to tell us how God made a way for us to be friends again with Him. Let's listen to the story from God's Word, the Bible.
I wonder if you were with us when we heard that ancient story from the Bible about how God rescued His people from being slaves. He led them away from Egypt into the desert, and He gave them His good rules to help them live right and good lives.
Yes, and we heard how they failed to keep those rules. They failed really badly, like we all seem to do.
Well, I'd like you to imagine that you're an Israelite woman in that crowd. You're leaving Egypt, where you used to be a slave, and you're making your way towards the land God had promised to give your people. Imagine living with your family in a tent, moving every now and then, looking for food and water in the desert, trying to teach your children, trying to keep things clean, and make friends as you travel. You're just learning about what's right and wrong in God's eyes. You make lots of mistakes, sometimes because you're not sure what is right. Sometimes you do wrong things without meaning to. And sometimes, well, you know what's right, but you just do the wrong thing anyway.
Well, that sounds like me. Does it sound like you too?
You know your people had an agreement with God, but your people keep disobeying. For example, they made a golden calf idol and worshipped it.
Yes, and that was right after God had told them not to have any idols, because He is the only true God.
That's right. So what are you to do? You do wrong things, your people disobey God, and God is absolutely holy and perfect. How can you dare come before Him? How would you feel? So God has to show you a way. Every year, the high priest must offer perfect animals as a sacrifice to God. He needs to confess his own sins and the sins of the people and ask God in his mercy to forgive them. The animals would die instead of them. And any time you realized you had disobeyed God and were filled with shame, you could bring an offering too. It would be your way of saying to God, "I'm sorry, I'm not good enough to come into your presence by myself. I deserve your punishment. Will you accept this offering instead of me?" It didn't have to be a big, expensive offering, perhaps just a handful of flour if you were very poor, but it represented you. And if you did this sincerely, really being sorry and wanting to change, God would accept you in His love and mercy. You could go back to your tent feeling happy that God had forgiven you.
That would have seemed like really good news. I think I would have felt much better. But I noticed you said, if you did this sincerely. I guess you could have brought the best animals without really feeling sorry or wanting to change.
That's true, because later on, God said something about that through His prophets. He said that he hated even the smell of their offerings when they didn't mean it, when they planned to keep right on being cruel or exploiting the poor or having wrong sex or secretly keeping idols and ignoring his rules for living right. People sometimes thought they could just bribe God, but they didn't really want to please him and obey him. They boasted about their big offerings, but they didn't care about how they lived. God wasn't impressed. The prophet Micah asked, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Should I even offer him my own child? No, he has shown you what is good, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God."
When you stop and think about it, I can't imagine that God needed lots of dead animals.
What do you think? No, of course he didn't. He said through one of his prophets, "If I felt hungry, do you think I would ask you for something to eat?" God does not need to eat, and he made everything, so he doesn't need anything we could give him. But there's something he does want. He wants to see that we're sorry and realize our mistakes, because then he can be close to us. He can help us and show us how to live the best life.
Do you think the sacrifices actually took away the wrongdoing?
Well, the Bible says that it isn't possible for the blood of animals to take away sin. They were a symbol, a picture of the way God was going to really take them away, the way he always planned to do it. You see, Jesus, God's Son, came and lived a perfect life on earth. He was the perfect sacrifice. He could really take our place, because he did not deserve to be punished for any sins of his own. And he was willing to do this because he loved us so much. Now you can come to God like the Israelite woman. You can say too, "I'm not good enough to come near to you, but please forgive me. Please accept the offering that Jesus made instead of me." God always accepts Jesus' sacrifice. He says that the penalty has been fully paid forever. We can have our guilt and shame taken away. We can feel washed clean. No need for sacrifices now.
But I think we have to be sincere too, just like she was. Just saying the words doesn't mean much if we're not truly sorry. If we don't really want God to change us and help us live the right sort of life.
That's exactly right. But if you are sincere about asking God to forgive you, he definitely will. Listen to this promise in God's word. If we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive our sins and purify us or make us clean from all our wrongdoing.
Isn't that amazing? So what have we learned today about God?
I think we saw that God always made a way so that people could come back to him. And he still wants us to be friends with him. I'm so glad about that. That brings us to the end of our time together today. Thank you for listening to Women of Hope. We would love to hear from you anytime. You can write to us, Carol, Tammy, or Roz, at Women of Hope, care of this radio station, or you can also email us. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.